Zondervan presents The Fisherman's Testament by César Vidal, read by James Adams. Chapter 1. I, Marcus Junius Vitalis, known amongst my men as the Asiatic, veteran soldier in the service of Rome, faithful companion of Caesar Claudius and Caesar Nero, know that I have arrived at the last stretch of this winding and bitter path we call life. Others will live on, be it for a shorter or longer time, but my life is ending. Before I know it, it will be utterly extinguished, and I will find myself cast onto the shores of a different world. It is precisely now, in these moments when I have no doubt that the end is near, that certain memories arise in my heart with heretofore unknown force, memories of an event that took place years ago, yet one that still weighs on my spirit like a marble slab. I am not unaware of the belief that since there is nothing beyond our earthly existence, we should eat and drink and thereby slip more gently into our end. Nevertheless, even if we become only a handful of dust blown away by the whim of the wind, the conscience does not cease from acting as a merciless judge of all our actions, barring none. In the many decades of my life, I have never regretted blood spilled in defence of the limes, the outermost edges of the empire. It was not that I didn't believe that the Barbari were humans like us. Rather, I was absolutely convinced that it was either them or us who were to be the victors in this secular struggle. They wanted to take possession of our well-being, our lands, and our abundance, and we defended ourselves from being stripped of all that, not to mention of our lives. I did not question, as did some of my fellow countrymen, their humanity. I did, however, deny them the right to deprive us of ours. To kill in defence of the empire for our good and for the good of generations to come seemed to me absolutely justified. It mattered not whether the dead were Moors from northern Africa, offspring of faraway Persia, or the warlike fair-haired men of the north. The ones who could not and should not die were Romans. Yet even though it involved the death of a barbarian, the episode to which I am referring was completely distinct. It began in the 817th year from the founding of our city by the brothers Romulus and Remus. I had just returned from a prolonged period of fighting in the Limes, the kind of combat that did not attract the attention of the peoples of Rome, but which contributed greatly to keeping her rich, stable, and powerful, when I was informed that Caesar Nero himself required my presence. This was certainly an honour, but I immediately tried to find out the reason for that strange request. "You have spent much time in the Orient, and he wishes to hear your opinion on some matters of religion," was all the response I received. So I decided to keep a discreet silence. In the hours between the pronouncement of the imperial wishes and my appearance before Nero, I could not stop wondering about the possible cause of his interest. I was a military man, with notable training in law, true, but in the end still a military man. How could I possibly advise the prince on a subject as thorny as Oriental religions? While savouring cup after cup of Italic wine, much more pleasing to my palate than what I had tasted in the Orient, I went over in my mind all the places I had roamed these past years in an effort to discover where the roots of the emperor's interest lay. First, I had been in Asia Minor. This part of the world did not lack schools of philosophy or hidden and mysterious rites. I was sure, however, that the master of Rome could rely on better advisers than me when it came to these extreme cases. The Greeks, who had amassed a fortune in our land, making use of their supposed knowledge, would have been enough to sufficiently explain to him the subtlest aspects of the union of body and soul, the elements that produced the universe, or other matters no less impossible to explain. No, Asia Minor could not be the source of the emperor's concerns. What about Judea? That possibility was even more difficult to accept. On this minuscule piece of land, situated at the farthest end of the Mare Nostrum,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?